People who will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. The list of the analogies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are very busy, so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouse, so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Manjushri and accept Sri Sukha Goswami or his qualified representative as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as we all know, the mercy of the devotees, mercy of the Guru, mercy of the Supreme Lord Krishna, that one can cross over this dangerous ocean of material existence. This material existence, especially it's mentioned here in Kali Yuga, is a difficult age, difficult place we are living in, because this age everyone is so engaged and busy in sense gratification. This is why we see our temples are empty, churches are empty, because people are so engaged in self gratification that they have very little time for God realization. They want to spend, because human life is so short, that they want to make most of it by engaging in sense gratification, because they think the end of life is that's it, that's the end. There's no more another life. So they want to make most of it by engaging themselves as much as possible to the extent of death, enjoy to die. But human form of life is, it is mentioned here, is not meant for self, for sense gratification, but it is meant for God realization. That is possible, even though it's difficult. Actually possible by the mercy of the spiritual master. Just like going across all the ocean. It's very big, ocean is vast. It's not easy to cross over to the other church, other side of the ocean, but you can get on the ship. If the ship has the expertise of captain, mentioned here captain the ship, then they can drive the ship so nicely that you know, avoid difficult parts in the turbulence of the ship from the ocean. Difficult ocean, living in the sea is very dangerous place. So, but if you're on a ship that's driven by an expert captain, then you can feel safe. The spiritual master is that captain who can very expertly guide us through this difficult path of material existence, showing us the path to the back to God, the spiritual world. This is why Guru, spiritual master, is so important to take shelter from the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master, they are showing us the path to go back to Godhead, which we are looking for. Because everyone is looking to go somewhere. You see, as soon as there's a holiday, you see the road is full. The road is traffic jam. Because everyone's going to get out to see, go somewhere else. You go to the airport, maybe they're opening up now. All those people want to get out, go somewhere else. Grass is greener on the other side of the fence. The cow is always stretching his neck to get the grass from the other side. Why don't you stand on the green grass already? But then looking at the grass is greener on the other side. We need the entities. We're always looking for happiness. But in fact, the happiness is already there in you, within the heart. But that happiness, that spiritual happiness, of course, if you're looking for material happiness, is unending. There is no happiness. That's what we're all looking for. So spiritual happiness is what we can actually understand through Atmagyana, knowledge of the scriptures. That will be provided by the mercy of the spiritual master. Samsara dava nara yuga loka. We sing in the morning. Samsara dava. This material existence is like a blazing fire, forest fire, and we're stuck in it. And then the forest fire, we call it in Australia bushfire. Then the cloud, rain cloud, it pours onto the burning bushfire of existence. And it's extinguished by the soothing water of the rain cloud. So this is the answer. But then the Lord Shita now in now. We offer our respect on full basis to Lord of the Guru Saranaya, the spiritual master, who is like a rain cloud. He's given us a path. He's showing us a path to go back on that Godhead, saving us from this suffering of existence. He's saying, come on, come on. Here is Krishna. This is why Srila Prabhupada took so much difficulty to go to the US. Everyone else is going elsewhere, going to the West for a better life. Everyone is going overseas to Western country for a better life. So Prabhupada, when he saw these people are really suffering, they are samsara dava, they are being burnt in the fire of material existence. So Prabhupada came like the cloud, the rain cloud, and pulling down the water in a very summer, very hot, during the summertime, very hot. That time, everyone is, in India sometimes it's so hot, your feet get stuck, your shoes get stuck on the road because of the karma. It's melting. And then everybody wants rain. And it's big, big rain cloud, monsoon cloud. This is so nice, the monsoon cloud. We look forward to it. And it's always in the evening because it's very hot. And then big monsoon cloud of rain comes down. And the birds, the trees, everyone, they feel just cool down. They just feel so cool. So the spiritual master, he goes to the place where there's so much suffering. To that Western country. Western country, like here in Australia, if you walk around, it's so difficult to find a place to sit. You have to go to a park. Everything's allocated. You go to India, everybody's sitting around everywhere. And here, in the evening, you see people just on the side of the road playing, something bizarre. Nobody home, everybody in the street. Because it's so goofy. Here, everybody's at home after work. In front of the TV. They're already stressed out. They're looking at the TV, they're all stressed out as well, looking at some screen. So, the spiritual master goes to, so Prabhupada went to the West, where those people are really suffering. They're stressed in life. Material suffering is very subtle, that they may have everything materially, but they're missing the one. They're missing spiritual life. They're missing spiritual knowledge. They're missing Krishna. The source of everything is Krishna. They're missing that. So Krishna goes, like Srila Prabhupada comes, Krishna comes to fill up the gap. That filling up the gap is, he gives Krishna to everyone. So Krishna is showing, please come to me. The Prabhupada, the spiritual master, he's showing us the path. So Kali Yuga is a very dangerous place. It's a place of misery. Abhuma Vunaloka Vunala Arjuna, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. from the highest man in the mature world down to the lowest man, it's all full of misery. Nothing here so special about this place. You see what Prabhupada went to America. The people came from all over America and Europe to meet Swamiji. And you see the old ladies of Prabhupada. They were dancing ecstasy. Prabhupada himself was dancing because he inspired by his disciples. So he brought that happiness that everyone is longing for deep in the heart. So no matter how much materially one is situated in, unless one has God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, they are not going to feel happy, because that they are missing that one thing. That one thing is spiritual life, that Krishna consciousness. That Prabhupada comes and fills up here. That's why Prabhupada is perfect. Prabhupada is so lovely. You see, when I remember meeting Prabhupada, you know, when Prabhupada was coming to Mayapur, it was the top of the months. Prabhupada's coming. And we're counting the days. 6 months before, everybody knew exactly what the day is coming. And it was like, we're counting the days, months, just 1 month. And the week that Prabhupada, that same week when Prabhupada is arriving, just people don't even feel hungry. They're just thinking of Prabhupada, just like when we think of Krishna. We're not thinking, but perhaps when you're taking a shot, we're not thinking other things. So in Prabhupada was coming in 1 week. And in those days, Prabhupada was really simple. We didn't feel like eating anyway, but it was very simple. So it was very easy to renounce. But when Prabhupada was coming, and if they got a letter from Prabhupada, it was like they had to hide it, because they had break the news in the temple after Maharaj and read the letter from us. You know, this is the hate, it's coming. People are like going through tears that it was coming. It was so emotional. So that week that Prabhupada's coming, I can't even explain to you how it was at that time. And the day before he came, it's like pulling the hair out. So excited. And I remember the first time I met Prabhupada, I only heard from the Western devotees because they saw him. And we only see many sadhus. But I wasn't that excited because I had a guru in our home known as Jati Guru. They call it Kula Guru. But he had long hair, but he's used fish and stuff. We can't judge. Maybe there are some pastimes. But when we heard of the Prabhupada, they came from the same place in Bengal, and he's coming with Westerners. So when I heard from Westerners, he must be so different. And so Prabhupada was coming the day, and I was also thinking, wow, amazing. So they asked me to go down the road. Down the road from Mayapur, when they come out of the front gate, go down towards the Chaitanya Mart, and the road will curve. You can see it. They don't have it anymore. They have a huge banyan tree right in the corner there. That's a really cooling place, because in the summertime, everyone likes to sit under a banyan tree, very cooling. And if you don't have a really good seat, the best place to sit is under the tree. If you go to UP in India, they have people sleep under the tree. They have this bunker, wooden bed made out of rope. It's like in the West, has a water bed, kind of like that. And they sleep under the tree, so cool. So they say you go there and you have the red flag and you raise it when you see Prabhupada, so they can be all getting ready. So they had a group of devotees in Harinam group, the Kirtan group, Medanga, everything is in formation. And this one, Prabhupada gets out of the car, they're going to sprinkle flour, who's going to do what, and down the road, all the way to the temple from the main gate. And so, but They don't know when he arrives. So when the road curves, there's a benefit there. Eventually you have a line there. So those days, there was hardly any car would come to Mayapur because it's a very village area. Time to time you get to see the truck coming, they're bringing bricks and stuff for construction. But cars, very rarely. There were no cars were coming, it was hours went by. So I had a flag with me, I thought, oh, maybe they're coming, not coming, who knows. So I had a rest. I lay down, like I said, it was very cooling. I lay down, and just about to, my clothes, my eyes, and I heard this, Haribo! It was Tamil Krishna Maharaj. He stuck his head out of the car, and all of a sudden, there were three cars, problems in the middle. And all the cars were decorated with flowers. In India, when people get married, they decorate the car with flowers and boxes. They're very beautiful. And the Prabhupada's car, so he was just in the middle of it all, rose petals, so beautiful, big vases on the side. And then I got that. And in India, you can't really drive too fast because the roads are not that good. So I could run behind all the way down to the front gate. And got, and I had to join the, my service was to get the basket and rose petal on the seat. And there was another boy on his left side, so I was the right side of Prabhupada. So the Prabhupada lift his feet at the same time. Before he put his feet down, we had to sprinkle the rose so he can land, his feet can land on the rose. And the other boy the same. Flip. So we were like very conscious that don't miss Prabhupada lift his feet, flower. And all the way down to the main gate, they had already moved because of the POV. So I'm so excited. And there was all these Matajis there on the lotus building, the first floor, second floor, all the way to the roof. So when Prabhupada arrived, they had to be very, very on time. And Prabhupada gets up right to the side there, they'd be all throwing down the flower. They had to land Prabhupada. All the way. So I was just looking, wow, this is what Prabhupada looked like. And I saw it for a time. And they always talk about lotus feet. That we usually want to know is it really lotus? We can talk about anybody, they have no Prabhu in lotus feet here. Yeah. Not really lotus, but it's a sentence. Prabhu actually kind of lotus kind of feet. So they put his shoe. Those days, Prabhu became a temple, they put his shoes inside the temple, just behind the door. So everybody's there. And I said, oh, they said, they have to take mercy of Prabhupada. So I went down there and shake his feet. There's nothing in it. And touched my head. His shoes. You know, we may have some shoes these days, but it's in a cascade. The shoe may be up there. And then I was looking at his feet very closely. You know, when he put in the side of his feet, kind of rosy. Right? So it's lotus feet, I guess. So Prabhupada was, he was very, very serious. And he had the shoulder like this, and he was stretched out. I was kind of looking up, looking around. He was checking how we are behaving, how we are dealing with each other and stuff. Prabhupada always wanted to make sure that we're doing correctly. So I think he was really stressed out, spiritually. He wanted to make sure so many devotees to take care, sure that they're doing things correctly. So we sometimes worry ourselves, like, you know, our temple commander or temple president or Mataji, Chandra Mataji, they worry to make sure the temple man is nice, they're doing the service is nice. He can imagine Prabhupada, how he felt. He had to manage the whole movement. Yeah, and there's a beginning days. Are we chanting our rounds? Are we following the principle? Are they maintaining his worship nicely? It's a lot of things in Prabhupada's head. But Prabhupada, he was not disturbed. He was very sober and very understanding. He was like, oh my God, I'm going to manage. No. He was everything under control. Because Prabhupada is pure devotee. He is Mano Vishta Vijaya. He was in direct connect with Krishna. Prabhupada knows what pleases Krishna the most. He's concerned with Krishna. Why do you think we have a deity worship, everything the standard that we follow? This is coming from Krishna. Because he will tell, somebody said Prabhupada was reading his books, so the devotees asked Prabhupada, why are you reading your own book? You must know what's in it. He said, no, because I didn't. Prabhupada, Krishna told me to. He was detained. These words are Krishna's words. Why do you think one elderly man within 10 years writes so many books? He didn't sleep much. While we were sleeping, we were writing books at night. He was detained in the thing. He was sleeping a little in the afternoon, and at night he had a little bit of sleep. He was writing all night. Gurakesh, like Arjuna, is known as Gurakesh. He conquered the sleep. And Prabhupada actually conquered the sleep. If I was going around the world as an old man, I'm tired. Everyone, give me a break. Everyone was so, he can handle it because he was not affected by all this glory. He was not affected by material situations. Yeah, I'll go crazy, so much to do. Go home and close the door. You manage. Somebody said, I want to become God. He was crazy. He said, Krishna, make me God. He said, fine, perhaps he become a God. And he went crazy. I don't want to make me stay away. Because everybody's coming to God, give me this, give me that, make me this, make me that. You know, people go to God for material things. They're not asking, please, can I want to serve you? There's only devotees. So he said, no, I don't want to be God. The Prabhupada, he was very cool. He was very relaxed. But he may be relaxed, but he was always one to preach. If he went to a temple and he didn't organize someone to see to talk to preach him, he'd be up and down. Bring me someone, I'll talk to him. Guru Mahaprabhu was telling me, the Prabhupada came to Perth and they didn't have anyone for him to talk to preach to. So Prabhupada was going up in the room. He said, bring me someone. So they grabbed someone, they walked, and this guy had long hair. And Prabhupada talked to him for like hours and he didn't say anything. And when he met Prabhupada, this guy was haunted.
That
was it. Prabhupada said this guy was haunted. But Prabhupada kept preaching him. Because he's so determined to preach. Paramukha Dukhi. A Vaishnava sees others suffering, he feels hurt. So Prabhupada was like that. He always wanted to preach Krishna consciousness. And he saw it as an urgency. When we go on honeymoon, you see people, they enjoy it. It's easy for us, because Prabhupada already established that thing. Yeah. It's easy to manage. Imagine in the beginning, so tough. But Prabhupada was very cool because Prabhupada said, when he left Vrindavan, he was in New York. He didn't leave Vrindavan. He brought Vrindavan with him. I have my left when I left my board. I came to Australia in 1984. And that time I thought everybody here is devotees because all the foreigners I saw in my board, I thought they're all, I didn't see any white devotees who wear karma clothes because every one of them is devotees. So I thought in Australia everybody is devotee. I was like, wow, I can't wait to see all country doing. So interesting. I got it wrong. And so, it's just like you all think you're in India, everyone is going, they're not. Oh, yeah, Vrindavan. I saw yoga students I bought from China, you know, they said, oh, Vrindavan, like they're reading Christian book. It's like 5,000 years ago. So then I took them to Vrindavan and said, oh, it's like a shock. That's what the description doesn't match. Yeah. It's different from what's in the book. So I explained to them, you have to meditate what it was. So you have to be rise your consciousness. So Prabhupada was in this place in New York. He wasn't affected by all the surroundings, the materialization, or the cars and material civilization. Because you are so absorbed in Krishna, this thing can affect your body. And you know, when the Prabhupada was talking to the guest, and someone gave me a big stack of money, like someone gives me money, and Prabhupada straight away. And he was not affected.
He was talking about Krishna like I'm talking, and he had things in his hand, he was moving around, and they had, and he was holding the money, but waiting, big stack. And we were, wow. But we all knew he was not, he didn't care. He thought this is just papers. Real wealth is Krishna consciousness. He was never perfect, and he was very serene, very satisfied. He is not affected by, everyone is jumping on his feet. And, I mean, of course not jumping, but everybody wants to touch his feet, people are all surrounded. But he himself was completely satisfied. This is why all of our temple, we see here also, that Prabhupada Murthy, Junior D, Mayapur, Vrindavan, all the places you go to, directly facing the deity, because he wanted to see Krishna. And I'm sure Prabhupada, so I had this idea. So in Mayapur, they had this room. There's on the lotus building, they have Prabhupada's room where he rests in that room. So one day, my job was to plant one of the plants on the roof when Prabhupada rested. So I was like, excited. I said, wow, I'm going to see Prabhupada in the room resting. And so I looked through the window, and maybe I thought, maybe there's Rasa going on, yeah. There's Gopis, and the whole Vrindavan, and Prabhupada is there. And it's not like here sometimes you can't see through glass, see through glass because of the special glass. So I was looking like that. And I was really hoping to see what's going on in there, you know, past times with the cowboy boys, Vrindavan, because, you know, Prabhupada is in there. I didn't say anything, because I didn't materialize. But, and so I was just walking around on the roof, watching the plant, and I came from a very simple place, like Santipur, village area. So we used to water the plants. My job in home, I used to water sock with winter spinach. That was my job, is to grow. So I used to water the plants. So I say, I don't have to water the plants. But they didn't have that thing, they had a hose. I said, wow, this is fantastic. I never saw a hose. So I was hosing instead of plants, some people down there on the roof. So it's quite fun. Somebody went there. Somebody pushed. So I watered. So then I felt this knock on my back. I looked around at Prabhupada. He was angry. I was very angry. So I was very nervous. I paid my obeisances. He said, don't do that because you need to water the tosi, the plant. She chastised me. So I thought, so Prabhupada was very aware of everything. Even though so much was going on, he was very aware of everything. Hare Krishna. So, in this age of Kali, it's a very difficult age, but when there is some difficult situation, there's also a cooling place you can go to. When you walk around in Melbourne or any city, they often have a park you can go to. You can also go to Riverside, right? A cooling place. Like you buy yourself some food, you have a picnic you want to do, then you can go where there's less people, you can sit on a bench. And they have places like that. Similarly, this Kali Yuga is a difficult place, but at the same time, there is also a process of Krishna consciousness as an alternative. Once it takes up your own. But we do not know what is that alternative. That alternative is given to us by the Guru. Hare Krishna. Isn't it? So the spiritual master is our savior. Is our life. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, we wouldn't have all of this Krishna consciousness, this beautiful temple. Like you guys said, hey, I wrote, hear the voice. Your only shelter is Krishna. And what's your other shelter? Your parents, right? Your parents said, get out of the house. Where are you going to go? You take only shelter of your parents, right? So our parents is Krishna. Our parents is Prabhupada. I'm going to tell you this story.
In writing, by law, Prabhupada is supposed to be my father. By law. Okay? So, if you think, I want to kick this guy out, you were on the wrong side. I have to be in the ISKCON. Anyway, I'm going to tell the story. When I first joined the Navigation Movement, my airport, that time, there were some difficulties for me, my father and mother, okay? So my mother said, I'm going to become a Hare Krishna, ISKCON, you can do whatever you like. And she did it, seriously. So she left, like Prabhupada went to America, she or me, and Prabhupada left. So my mother left him and he joined ISKCON. So then I was very attached to her. I was not attached to my dad, so I was very passionate. I want somebody very mellow, peaceful. And ladies usually are. Unless you get angry. You don't want to see. So I was at someone else, at my uncle's place. My mother was left. So then I was 20 days, So my mother came to my uncle's home. And I said, I looked at her, I said, you don't look the same as before. But I used to see you at home. You look lucky, you look funny now. And he has a beautiful sari. Masiyatila, and they had those days, they had me back with like a big Prabhupada patch on it. I said, who is that? And she was chanting. So all the village people came to see her, including me. I said, my mother's gone bhikari. She's become a sadhu, like a yogini, that kind of person. And in Bengal, they have yogini. They have long hair, they do this. Take in front of Durga, some mystic thing, tantric. What? Become tantric. So then I went to see her. She didn't do this hair thing. She was very dressed nicely, very behaved, very peaceful. And I saw she had this effulgence around her. I said, effulgence? Like, when you look at the sun or something, sometime or moon at night, they have this, like a glow around it. And she had this. I guess I was to see. So anyway, the reason why she came to get me to this one, Sarabhu, everybody dragged me away from her. So it's like, in India when they milk the cow, they bring the calf for a few minutes and then they pull it back. I don't know, there's a reason for that. Right? So they pulled me back and see her for a few minutes. They all pulled me and said, put me in another house. Because they knew she came to get me. So she couldn't take me. 6 months I couldn't go with her. And so I thought to myself, I had an attraction for her more than before. Like something like when Krishna was eating the lunch with cow boys and Brahma stole the cow. And then when he went back, all the cows were Narayan. So the same thing happened to me. Like I was looking at her and she left. This time I had more affection for her than before. I couldn't express to others because everybody says she's gone crazy. But I didn't think. I thought she'd be better now. Because she was all because she was stressed out at home. After becoming a guru, she was so peaceful. She was chanting wow. This is what I want her to be. Not so angry and very peaceful. But I couldn't go with her. So I was thinking, when she comes next time, I'm going to go. No one can stop me. So I had it. When small kids are very smart, they plan many things. When they want something, they plan. So I was planning. I thought, when she comes, I'm going to go to the rice field and catch her in the train station. So I thought, she came back, they did the same, try to. So I told her, okay, you go here to the main road. And I'll meet you at the train station. No one can find me. I took the right seat. I met her at the train station. This is how I came to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. I'm actually writing a book. I already started. Everyone is saying, this is my story. You get old and memory is going to be short. I will remember. So I have to write it all now. So I met her there. So my uncles, they all get caught up with us on this issue.
So you, what are you supposed to say? No, I'm going to die. I said, if she's my mother, I'm going. What's your problem?
I got on the train with my mother.
And the train arrived just on time. It's like a movie. They all came, train came. I got on the train. Before they could catch me, I got on the train. And the train, those days was those steam trains. And I was off to my airport. And then, so anyway, it's a very long story. And then she, after some time, my father came to get my mother. I didn't know this thing going on. So, this Guru Puja happened. Those days, Guru Puja was not like someone looking at the TV, somebody going outside. It was all full on. Guru Puja is Guru Puja. Everybody was like, there's so much love for Prabhupada. Everyone was there. Everyone, whole time for Guru Puja. So they pulled me out. I said, where are you going? Guru Puja, I haven't finished. They said, they want me in the office. I said, I got up in the office. And Bhavananda, you know, Bhavananda used to be a big time manager in my airport. So the world I shared with him. I said, Bhavananda, she wants to see me. I was shaking. So when I went there, my mother was there, my father was there, translator, because they didn't speak English, even me. So first thing they asked me, I walked in the room and I said, and they had a stick. Bhavananda all sat with him, had a stick. So I managed to carry Nanda, but he also had another stick for his shoe. He didn't really hit you, but he was just carrying us. In Bengal, we need people with the stick, otherwise they just, to get service done, they need to whack people sometimes. Anyway, so I got into the office, Bhavananda said, what do you want to do? You want to stay with Islam? Or you want to, I mean, with your mother? He just said Islam. He said, you want to stay with your mother? Or you want to go with your father? So like, you know, somebody asked you that, and you were intense. Yes. And I said, I had to think quickly. So I said, I want to stay with my mother. This is very cool. She wants to be a devotee. And I asked, attraction to Krishna consciousness, and I don't want to go with his passion and guide. And he got so angry. He said, oh. So he slapped the door, he walked out. And so I said, oh, so I can say this now. So week later, I had to go to the court. Navadvip, there's a court. If you go to the Supreme Court, then there's lower court, higher court, like that, right? So Navadvip court in Navadvip is like going to like Kushara Hall. You know, everybody's outside and Kushara ready. So this court was full of people outside the wall. I came in with my mother and all the foreigners. Those days there was not many Indians. They wanted to protect me and my mother to stay here. So I went there, all foreigners. The whole Navadvip was there to look at the foreigners. But they climbed over the wall to get inside. Because police said you can't walk in the court area. So I was thinking, wow, what's going on? I didn't know it was cold and all this time. I was just really kid, you know, 6 years old. And so then the guy said, come here. So I stand in the middle. They have this wooden door. I have to go inside. And repeat what the judge said. Said, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay in Hare Krishna with your mother? Or you want to go with your father? Same thing they asked me in the office. I said, I want to say, they actually prepared me before I went there to say these things. I'm going to say the name. So then I said, I'm saying the mother. So then that was it. And he said, the judge said, this boy, this Pagalogya, it's like he's crazy. These Hare Krishna people brainwashed him. Because those days, brainwashing was a very big thing. Even they used to say in the West, oh, you become brainwashed. They are because, look at you, you can't stop chanting Hare Krishna, brainwashed. They don't know if that is the power of the Lord. So, about a month later, I had to go back again. And so, they said, your, by law, your guardian is your guru, your Hare Krishna movement guru, that follows up. So, this is the story I'm telling you. So, I'm supposed to be here this time. And my father's guardian is Prabhupada by law. Yeah, this is why I tell the story. So it was so amazing how when Prabhupada came, He could see where we are at, how we are performing our Krishna consciousness. He could see that this guy is in Maya, this guy. But he didn't just say, you're like this. He was very kind, very understanding. Because when Prabhupada came to Mayapur, they were making all the Mangalarati sweets very special. Because they were giving all the sweets to distribute to the devotees during the Guru Puja. So they had this sandesh. They have sandesh, you know, we have sandesh, right? Not like the ones that are here, very special. They have gold leaf, over it, and they have the bird food, so special. Big one, the gold leaf. So I always want to eat that. After, because in Mayapur, we never get that. They give it to the sannyasi, they sell it. So I thought, and the pujari room is always open. They go in and out, the Swami Janani goes through. Because they don't have any pujaris, the two pujaris do everything. They forget to close the door, they're in a hurry. I said, wow, I'm going to go in there and get some more Mangalarati sweets. So, they used to those days in Mayapur, everything you wear, like gamsha, big bag, kurta, they make handle. They take your size, they make your shoes, everything. I said, I want my big bag extra big. Yeah, this is like that. Said, sure. Because some labor, they'll do whatever you tell them. They don't know you're going to use the big bag for something, not just a piece. I said, my big bag should be bigger. And the pocket, one here means one inside. One here, one inside. Extra pocket. Because I want to do other things. They said, okay. So then I had an extra big bag, bigger one, extra bigger. So I had two sweets inside. Prabhupada was there, and the sweets were missing. I didn't know that they were so powerful. So they have, you know, they can make quickly more. And I didn't keep it, I kept it in the big bag and ate it quickly because they didn't be checking. So there's, when you try to drop in the chapel room in my book, those old days, they don't just sit, they go around. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they walk around. And they have, when you come behind the temple room, the teaching room, and there's a this area here, there's nobody there. So I would check the last person way over there. So I would go quickly behind the sweets before he can arrive. Understand? So they were checking, so there's the water going around, the sweets are missing. Sandesh and Burfi missing. Two or three pieces. I don't like back while they're checking. I don't sweets. Well, I have a big bag on the Krishna Hare. Big bag, I have the sweets. Nobody's going to think that check the big bag. They all thought I'm a beer bully. But that's sweets. Anyway, so that day, I joined the group with the Prabhupada giving sweets. And he looked at me like, you know, thinking I was all sweets. But he didn't say anything. So I was thinking, you know, sadhu, we know everything. You know, in India we know the sadhus and gurus and sainted people, they know your mind. So I was thinking, oh my God, he knows that in the streets, look at the way he's looking. So I was thinking, you know, please forgive me, sadhu. I was very sorrowful inside, but I didn't want to express it because I don't want people to know at the same time. So these are a lot of stories I have like this about how Prabhupada is very, very subtle about everything. So when his Prabhupada was managing, it's not that he's managing, but he also knows everything. You know, sometimes devotees said, during the class, they said, somebody had a question, Prabhupada knew an answer, and he was talking about it. And they said, Prabhupada, he already answered it. So Prabhupada knew the mind of the devotees. So that's the, if you are a manager, if you can understand our mind, then things can come easily, because they have learned so much, because they do it. So, Prabhupada was like that on that level. He was so pure, so loving. So, my point here in this purport of the Bhagavatam is that Kali Yuga is a place, a very difficult place. And especially now, it's getting worse and worse. 2 years ago, we had Gautam Buddha here, remember? I still had a video. I was up there singing. I was like, he can hardly walk. So ecstatic. Everyone pushing each other. They have Sukadeva came and says, saying more softly. I said, you're telling the wrong person that. And people, because they had to control everyone, sometimes they can get hurt. But everyone is so ecstatic. You go to some temples in India, they sample on each other. You heard of it?
Sometimes it's temple, they walk on it and they die. They can't breathe.
So we don't want to get to that stage. So they worry.
So now, you see now, you know, giving Bhagavatam class is actually packed. Now everyone's watching online, they're hearing online.
So Krishna can change all this. But because this weird being Kali Yuga, time is making more and more difficult even for devotees.
For us to chant Hare Krishna, to do a 5-time kirtan.
It's not easy because there's situation changing, constantly changing, due to the age of Kali. But if we have sincere desire to practice Krishna consciousness in this Kali Yuga, Krishna will arrange everything. So right now, don't worry. Even if there's no one around, you have Krishna with you. Prabhupada went to America. There was not many people with him. But he said, I can feel the presence of my Guru Maharaj next to me. I can feel the whole Vrindavan next to me. You're sitting under a tree.
And sometimes they hear, probably a dream. Now I'm not here.
But when we talk spiritually, that spiritual things are all there. Even if you're dreaming, they're in your mind. This whole spiritual world can appear in your head, in your heart. They're magic, mystical. 900,000 cows, 900,000 of cows in Vrindavan. How big is Vrindavan? Where are you going to put all those cows? That takes up all the space. Where's your room, your house, toilet? This can take up all the space. 900,000. But it's all very magic. And those 900,000 cows are with the Govardhan Hill. So how big is Govardhan Hill? Plus all the residents, all the people, the women and everything. There's a lot of people. So it is all mystic. It's all magic. Spiritual mystic. Krishna is known as Yogeshwara. Mystic. Mysticism. So Prabhupada also, very mystic. Prabhupada was putting tilak on the 10th floor. And he was putting tilak on. So Prabhupada, the car is ready for the announcers to take you to a program. So Prabhupada said, we go down there and I'll meet you. So when he went there, Prabhupada was there already. How did he get there? So Prabhupada was also mystic. And when you go to India, when I go to Mayapur, I say, I don't want to drink any water. It'll make me sick. I say, I only drink coconut, down. So Prabhupada was drinking coconut once. And he said, he didn't finish it. He gave it to his disciple. And he was drinking and drinking. And he couldn't finish it. He gave it to 10 people were around. There was, how much water is one coconut? Everybody, you know, there are too much coconut water from one coconut. The Prabhupada didn't speak. He knows everything. And last days of Prabhupada, today's Prabhupada disappears. The last days, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He couldn't walk, and so they used to carry him on a palanquin. So the devotee who used to carry him told me this story. He needs 4 people to carry a palanquin to hear him back. So Prabhupada used to say to them, so if I carry someone, you have to get ready because it's very heavy and because of the weight. So he went to pick up. They all pick up nothing, like picking up his book. They all look at Prabhupada. I said, what happened today? He wasn't heavy at all. He was completely light, like picking up a coin. So they all look at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote a short with some joke with him as a mystic. Prabhupada said to them, today I am light. Huh? Like it was a joke. And he said, today I am very, very light. So he can, there are 8 mystic cities. One of them, he can become very heavy or very, very light. Right? He can fly. And sometimes it's very dangerous, you're very, very light, and then big wing, and they fly off. They have to become heavy quickly. So Prabhupada was very, he had all the mystic power, but he could, so Prabhupada could control it and use it. Like Jesus, he had mystic power. That's why he can attract people. Prabhupada had all of this.
Prabhupada in India, they have so many people can do so many like yoga things, mystic. They can bring a coin from your pocket and bring it from your ear and say. They were showing to Prabhupada when he used to go for a walk on the Jugu beach. And Prabhupada said, he said to the yogi, he showed all his disciples, American disciples, he said, can you make these people devotee? And shave their head, wear saffron and sari, become a devotee, Westerners, and take them back to Godhead, stop birth, yes, all this disease. He says, Swami, that I can do. Prabhupada said, I can do. So you can only bring the coin from your pocket in the ear, but I can make them, bring them back to life. I'm saying this for you, Jack. So you got the mercy of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's mercy is that he's given us the ultimate blessing to go back to Godhead. So even at the deathbed, Prabhupada was dying. Prabhupada never died. He's always there. But he was leaving this world. And he was chanting Hare Krishna, he was preaching. He was talking about Krishna. Prabhupada said, you can feel me when I'm leaving this body. Because he wants to show people how, even at the time of death, he is preaching Krishna consciousness. He wants to show that. He never wasted time. Prabhupada was always talking about Krishna. So this is, pure devotee means acharya. Acharya means one who lives by his own example. We can learn from his examples. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any questions? I think we're going to talk a little bit more later on, right?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Any want to share something? So we talked with this.
How could Prabhupada talk at the time of his death? Wouldn't it be very difficult?
How could he talk?
Yeah.
Because he didn't leave yet, he was still in the body.
But didn't he talk very slowly?
Yeah, slowly. Softly. Very used too much. Very softly. They had to hear very closely and how he's talking. Yeah, they had mic. They had speaker. Because they're recording when he's talking. That's what I'm saying. Prabhupada asked the devotees if they allow him to record him and film him while he's leaving the body. Sometimes it's rude to film someone who's leaving, dying. But Prabhupada wanted to show that even he is leaving this world, he's speaking. So they're recording him. So he was talking softly. They had a video of that in the movie. His final times, yeah.
Do you know what he was speaking about at that point?
I forget, but he was talking some verse from the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Yeah, he was probably saying something about remembering Krishna always. Means even at the time that you remember Krishna. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, think of me, become my devotee, worship me. So it was preaching to the devotees, even at that time. So, Prabhupada was never like a normal people. He was always a pure devotee by birth. Whatever happens, it's like a leela. Because Prabhupada's pastimes. And he had a family, and he had a business. This is always a leela. So, he gave it all up, and went to preach Krishna consciousness. Because of Prabhupada's mercy, we have this Melbourne temple. This is a special temple, Melbourne. Because here is this temple of Melbourne is Prabhupada himself opened this temple. There's a stone there on the wall and opened in 1975. And he saw Brother Prabhupada, the leaders here. They had pictures of them. How they should look like those days. Simple dress. Now I have much more elaborate worship over the years. But Prabhupada himself, he started this temple. So this is a very unique temple. His mercy is on us. We can feel his presence.
proper sitting here is actually there. If you think, oh, he's not talking to me, I'm going to have to go and ask him, why are you not talking to me? He'll talk to you. So Prabhupada is there. We have to become more spiritually sentient. Then Prabhupada will reveal himself through different means. Yes?
What was the date when you were initiated?
What was the age?
The date.
That was 1975, the Krishna Balaram Mandir opening day. An exact date when the temple opened on that day. So that's the history. So 1975, on Ram Navami, in fact, that's in April usually. On that day when Lord Ram appeared, 1975, April, right after the Mayapur festival, there is usually the Ram festival. So on that day. And big initiation ceremony. So, yeah.
So, Did Prabhupada initiate?
Yeah, that.
But he initiated when he was 9 years old.
Everybody knows. 9. What's
your
age now?
I'm 8.
Okay, next year you'll initiate.
I'm 9.
Well, I have a video. I'm getting the lead from Prabhupada. Everybody said, wow. When I walked out, they said, impossible. Prabhupada himself said, impossible. You know, you're too young. But they didn't have a choice because there was no leaders around to talk to. So Prabhupada thought to himself, he said, never mind. So if somebody says, if you are too young to get initiated and you need your Bhakti Sakshi course, and if you're a disciple course, if you pass all that, if you pass the disciple course, and you're Bhakti Sastri, and you're 9 years old, you can say, I don't know if anyone got initiated that age, you can use me as a reference. Okay? We'll talk more about Bhakti, I think later on, we have a program here later on. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai!